Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. ReadingThePlay.com.
Now why don't we move on to the NRL, where there's been plenty of talk happening in the last week. There's never a dull moment in the season or out the season. And one of the big talking points, I know, Jared, you in particular have been very vocal on this topic over the last week, but there's been a little bit of talk around a player down in South at the moment, Brandon Smith. What's your thoughts on him?
Well, I guess we touched on this about 6 weeks ago, didn't we, Tristan? You know, when we're heading into the end of October and the start of November, and the key date being the 1st of November, where the contract date for signing ahead then rolls over, and we have this farcical situation, which we've said many times, that players can sign elsewhere and be courted elsewhere. But yeah, the whole Brandon Smith thing, it's almost been like a show ring pony. I mean, he's been waltzed around all of these clubs. I mean, he had time on the Gold Coast and he was up in Brisbane, but it's all been at the media expense that he's been showing here, there and everywhere. Then he has a week in Sydney and, you know, there's photos everywhere of him playing golf with the players at the Roosters, and then the fact that he's out dining, not only meeting with the coach, but then I believe later that night I had dinner with a couple of their board members, and then the next day announces that he's going to the club. Now, all of that, I just think, is the wrong way about it. But so be it if that's what is unfolding. But then how he handled himself with, you know, going on the podcast and swearing and all that sort of stuff, I mean, I just couldn't give a rat's about that. It's the fact of what he actually had to say, and I think the clear tone of disrespect to Bellamy, Panisi and all of the team at the Storm who have looked after him all of the way through. Now, there's no doubt that he wanted to get a bigger contract. He's now achieved that. But I think the way that he's handled himself, he's just really let himself down. I go a little further than Brandon Smith. I mean, where the hell's his manager and mentor and a few of these other people been in actually giving him some advice and showing him the right way to handle this with a little decorum, and, you know, announced from the Storm that he's leaving, then the club that he's going to, and just move on?
Yeah, you've obviously been involved in a lot of contracts and those sort of things over the while. Hads, have you got any, like, what was your take on the situation?
Yeah, I think it was just really un-Melbourne-like. He came down to Melbourne as an okay player, and through that great system of Melbourne, they've turned him into a superstar of the game, and he's got a reputation. He's a bit cheeky, and he likes to have a bit of fun. But there's also a line you've got to respect where you came from. They've done a really good job down there, but I don't think Melbourne, to me, will be that worried whether he stays or he goes. They've got a mentality down there, the next man in. You got Harry Grant there waiting. And to me, he doesn't look like he's engaged into what they're trying to achieve down there. And they'd be known to let players go if they go outside that bubble of what Melbourne Storm stand for. So to me, he just looked like he stepped out of that bubble. It'd be interesting to talk to him whether he'd take some of the stuff back that he did. With these negotiations, all players have got the right to negotiate and get the best deal, but you've got to do it in a tasteful way. And I think that's the biggest disrespect he showed to Melbourne, who have done a really good job to develop into the player he is.
Yeah, and I agree with that completely. Like, I think there's been a couple of trains of thought there where people saying different things about the whole situation. I'm the same as you, Jared. I can't care about the swear words or the way he's spoken in that sense, because he is a character, and you don't want to take that side of it away. But it's that respect for the team and respect for the group of blokes you've, you know, got very close to winning a premiership with only a few months ago. And also by the same token, from the Rooster side of it, like, they're very, you know, Trent Robinson has them under such a tight leash. I'm not so sure that'd be overly wrapped with how this has been done on the flip side as well. So it's a really interesting one. The thing that I look at from the Storm point of view is you've got two blokes there where I think there was a lot spoken about Christian Welch potentially going up to headline the new club. And he stayed without any you know, bells and whistles. He's stuck with Melbourne. And I think you just see that the different ways players lead and lead inside the club. And, you know, I think Melbourne are always going to be that team that retain the players that they really want to retain. And if someone is You know, they probably could have found a few extra dollars to keep Brandon Smith if they really wanted to, and maybe they've shown their hand there and potentially proven themselves to be right.
Well, I think you touched on a couple of key points. I mean, one is, you know, there's some criticism over recent days that we don't want characters in the game. It's got nothing to do with that. We absolutely love the fact that he might be a character. It's actually how you handle yourself at the right time. Secondly, I know for a fact coming out of the Roosters yesterday, they're absolutely ropeable about a couple of things that he did say, because he certainly said and let the cat out of the bag about a couple of things that just didn't need to be said. And then lastly, let's talk about the Storm. You touch on it so acutely. Let's go back to the week, the nights after the Storm got knocked out. Now, in the week after that event, the Storm rallied around and looked after he and Munster and all of that, and tried to move things forward in a professional way. I mean, certainly they didn't deserve what's unfolded over recent days. And the two key players that have had signings over the recent weeks, in you touch on, you know, Christian Welsh and how he's handling himself, but also Kaufusi. Kaufusi signed with the Dolphins. Did we see him up there whining and dining around Redcliffe, or wearing a Dolphins jersey, or talking or whatever? He hasn't actually said a word. I mean, an announcement was made by the Dolphins, an announcement was made by the Storm, and everybody just moves on.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's an interesting space now for the Dolphins, where they haven't been able to get a lot of these key targets. So it's going to be interesting how Wayne Bennett moves forward over the next period, because there's a few players that are that pool's starting to diminish a little bit, and they're going to have their work cut out for them to have a competitive side for next year. Any thoughts on that, Jared?
Well, I think what's going to unfold, Tristan, now is that with the passing of these recent weeks and them not getting any of those big notable people that they did go after. And I've mentioned previously, you know, they threw an absolute truckload at Tino to try and move him out of the Titans. I know that he accepted a big chunk of money less to stay at the Titans. Smith was one. They've certainly gone strongly after Munster and a couple of other players. I think that what we're going to see over the next 6 months is a number of good quality B graders get paid A-plus money to end up at the Titans. They're going to have to pay overs for guys who are good team players, but not marquee players. And I think that puts a cat amongst the pigeons. And it also then suggests how strong Redcliffe's going to be in 12 months' time to start the competition. I think they'll be competitive. I mean, you know, Bennett's a winner. He knows how to put the right combinations together, but it's very different to what he's done previously, because it's not an open market. And he's not returning to Brisbane where, you know, there were a lot of players playing in a local competition ready to play first grade. This is a very different scenario.
Yeah, I find it interesting. And one thing with Wayne Bennett, you can never doubt him. He doesn't give much away in the media. And to me, yes, they've missed a few of the big names off market, but they'll put a team together. But they also have a plan on what success looks like. What's it look like in the first year, the second year? When do we want to start playing finals? If we target, I think I'd imagine they'd target some kids to get the best kids in and develop them over the next couple of years and go to market with marquee signings then to see where they can make it then into the finals. So, yeah, it looks a bit grim in that now, but to me, they'll have a plan, and Wayne Bennett will just be sitting back and enjoying all the banter, knowing behind closed doors he's got everything under control.
I think the other key talking point of the last 10 days has been the Parramatta Eels. I mean, the last time they won a competition, they were taking selfies in a phone box. You know, what is it, 38 years or something like that? All of a sudden now it's a matter of last man out, please turn the lights off for who's going to be there in February next year. There's clearly a lot of argy-bargy internally between the coach and the football management team about what numbers they should be paying for who. They've now lost three very key signings to other clubs. I think that undermines internally the unity of how they might then prepare and play next year. They've been well short. They ended up upping their deal for Mahoney, yet weren't prepared to go to 4 years as the Bulldogs were. So they've lost a couple of key back rowers who have been quality players and standout players for them this year. They've now lost their number nine. I think Dylan Brown's been shopped around anywhere and everywhere for the last 3 or 4 months. Very interesting what unfolds there. And I think all the mail has been that Redcliffe have thrown an absolute fortune now at Junior Paulo. having missed Tino, and that he may well be a key signing over coming weeks. If they end up getting him, well, there's number four that might not be there next year. And there's a, so not only are the Dolphins going to want to be active, the Eels are going to want to be active.
Market Watch is proudly brought to you by Top Sport, home of the Top Sport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.